This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, August 4th, 2014. I'm Caleb Brown. The president will be meeting with 50 African leaders this week in Washington, but the few minutes the president will be spending with each of these leaders will accomplish far less than simply reducing trade restrictions with those same nations. And most of the reforms that will help African countries develop are domestic in nature. So says Dalibor Rohak, a policy analyst at the Cato Institute.
I'm afraid it's mostly an exercise in symbolic politics. The idea that anything meaningful of anything of substance could be resolved at a 6-8 hour summit at which President Obama is gathering 50 African leaders is highly implausible. African countries do share some of the common challenges. Most of them count among the most underdeveloped in the world. But in the end, every African country is different. Every African country has slightly different needs, slightly different problems. And the idea that President Obama will take 50 different African leaders in the room and discuss everything ranging from security, to trade, to sustainable development, to peacekeeping, to governance, to corruption, to illicit finance flow, to me, it just sounds fanciful.
Now, this is the president. Obviously, number one, Africa is a very diverse continent. It's huge. It's Americans don't really appreciate the massive size of Africa as a continent. And 6 hours devoted to talking to 50 world leaders about all of the very different problems that these countries are facing. Is there anything that, I don't know, the president could learn today that would possibly change U.S. policy in those areas to fix things?
I think the interesting thing about Africa is that it's been actually making a lot of progress in recent years. We have long seen the continent through the prism of underdevelopment, poverty, foreign aid, debt relief, and similar issues. But actually, in recent years, you had growth approaching 5% in throughout sub-Saharan Africa. You had falling poverty rates in spite of rising populations. You had improvements in terms of various measures of well-being, including access to clean water and sanitation, infant mortality. You had also significant improvements in governance and democracy. The number of African countries that are democracies today is much, much larger than it was in 1985. And on the economic front, I think it's quite obvious that most of the growth has come from two sources. First one is the increase in commodity prices, and African countries are, in many cases, significant exporters of raw materials and sort of primary commodities. And so that has helped. But you had also improvements in macroeconomic management in terms of falling debt, falling inflation rates, just an overall better business environment and institutions, which account for large part of these increased growth rates that we've seen in Africa. That being said, the African continent has still a long way to go. It still remains among the economically least free areas of the world, with large extent of trade protectionism even within Africa. In many cases, for up to 25 African countries, the trade barriers that these countries are facing on manufactured exports within Africa are larger than the barriers they're facing when they try to export to the rest of the world.
Who are some of the leaders when it comes to getting things right in terms of governance and economic freedom and infrastructure?
Well, there are obviously a handful of countries that have made significant gains in terms of the quality of their institutions in the past 20 years or so. Those would include Mauritius, Namibia, Botswana, or Rwanda, although the regime in Rwanda is rightly seen as quite controversial. But in any event, you've seen these countries make significant changes to their business environment, institutions, trying to crack down on corruption, and very often that produced good results in terms of economic growth and increased trade and investment. And it's obvious that African countries need to do more of that, and that can't come from the outside. That can't come from summits in Washington and photo ops with President Obama. Still, the West can help, and it's obvious that African exporters are facing trade barriers, not just within Africa, but also in Europe and in the United States. In some cases, these barriers don't strike us as obvious, because nominally, tariff rates that are applied to imports from African economies look fairly small, but we have to take into consideration, in the case of the United States, for example, the existing quota system, in which the permitted amount of imports is fixed by a certain amount, and above that threshold, the applied tariff rate is much, much higher, in some cases approaching 350%, which is quite prohibitive for most exports that we can think of.
In terms of the United States taking some action to sustain development in Africa, you're saying that reducing trade restrictions should be top of the list?
I think it should be, and those are not just tariff barriers, which obviously should be repealed, and not just by the United States, but also by European countries, but also implicit protectionism in the form of agricultural subsidies. Agricultural produce is one of the significant export articles coming out of Africa, and African exporters find it really hard to compete against agricultural producers that are recipients of this large quasi-welfare programs in Europe or in the United States. And I don't think there is any economic justification for these programs. Moreover, they are directly harmful to African farmers.
The path forward for African countries in terms of getting economic freedom right, trading with even their neighbors right, and building these basic structures of governance and the institutions that support development. What are the key things that most of these countries share in terms of what they need to do?
I think they need to make a lot more progress on the governance front. They need to strengthen their own institutions, make it clear that the government is there to serve the people and not the other way around. In many cases, they have to fix the problem of the management of natural resources, which has corrupted many governments in the region, where government is just seen as an opportunity to access rents from natural resources and natural export revenue. And most importantly, I think African countries just need to work on dismantling trade barriers that exist within Africa. Unilateral trade liberalization would be a politically feasible and easy way out for many of these countries. But simultaneously, that needs to happen within a critical mass of the continent to make a difference to your typical African exporter.
Dalibor Rohak is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. He is co-author of a new report, Sustaining the Economic Rise of Africa, available now at cato.org.